AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's RUBRIK.com.
College football, full circle.
I'm as concerned as I've ever been, and because we've got three or four guys out with COVID, and we have a couple staff members that have been out with COVID here recently, so we're at our highest spike. And if people are talking about vaccination, well, these are people that are vaccinated. We're talking about breakthroughs. And so that concerns you, not only for the players on your team that are unvaccinated, that are playing and not playing, because we want everybody to be safe, but it concerns me for the players that are vaccinated that we could lose one.
All right, here we go. College football, full circle. Mike Carver and Joe Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. As we get ready for week number two of the college football season, recapped all the games yesterday, and now we look forward to a whole new slate. And I do so, as always, with my man, the encyclopedia of college football, that is, go for the two, Joe Lisi. Joe, how are you today, my man?
I'm doing great, Carver. You know what's great about this week? Short week with the holiday last week, right? We're another step closer to week number two, and people are like scrambling because they had their week one picks. Like, oh, I won 7-0. I won 46-2 for week one. But now when week two comes, it's like, oh man, I don't know what to do. Gotta stay the course. We're very calm. We're very focused on these matchups. We're not gonna let anything sway us. But once these games kick off on Saturday, I can tell you what, they really will dictate a national championship picture. And we have, people said this is a down week in terms of college football. I totally disagree. We have some games that will really dictate conference championships. I'm looking forward to seeing if the Pac-12 can actually step up and make a statement on top of what UCLA did last week. We have some marquee battles in the Big House and the Horseshoe, respectively.
Yes, we certainly do, Joe. And you actually bring up something that I wanted to get with you today, and it's kind of a bigger topic. But week one to week two, especially when you're looking to bet these games, how much information or how much stock can we put into some of the things? Because we know how much overreaction can happen off of one game. You know, I'll give you an example of a couple teams. I mean, Iowa State, you know, they looked horrible against Northern Iowa. They're getting ready to play the Hawkeyes this week. Right. You know, what do you make of a situation like that? Or North Carolina and Miami, who looked so awful in week number one. Do you just move that into week number two, or do you try to wipe it away when you look at a fresh line and a fresh game coming into week two?
I think it depends upon the situation. And what I mean by that is, you know, I break down all these teams in terms of the conferences. I feel like I have a pretty good read in terms of the strengths and the weaknesses from the previous season. And this is where I gauge to see if those strengths and weaknesses will continue or will it be a different type of team. Now, case in point, you mentioned North Carolina. Well, we knew North Carolina coming into the season, lost their top four wide receivers, and they lost their starting two running backs. So there would be, from just that type of sense, a drop-off in production. They lose that week one matchup to Vatek, right? Now, what are you going to get in week number two? Do they make adjustments? That's what we need to see. So for me, I'm not back in North Carolina. I'm going to use this particular game in terms of week two as another gauge going for their next tougher, you know, conference game, right? So that's one type of situation. On the flip side, we have a team in Oregon that really struggled against Fresno. Now let's put it into perspective. Thibodeau was hurt, so there's one factor. We knew that they had Ohio State to look ahead, right, in terms of that aspect. Was it a vanilla game plan by Mario Cristobal not wanting to show too much? And then on top of that, We knew that Fresno already had a game under their belt by playing UConn, so you really had a trifecta. You had your top player get hurt. You had a look ahead with a top 10 opponent. And on top of that, you're playing an opponent that's a pretty decent opponent that already had a game under their belt. So that's what we have to gauge. From week one to week two, do we see a better and more disciplined Oregon team, even with Thibodeau out? That's the biggest thing, and that's where I'm going to gauge that matchup in Columbus Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, I mean, take a team like Virginia Tech, who we didn't think was going to be very good coming into the year. They have a win under their belt against North Carolina, a good win at home, and now they're laying 19.5 to Middle Tennessee. I mean, what's that line if they lose a North Carolina game, Joe? Is it 13? Is it 14? Suddenly they look really good, and now that line goes to 19.5. So Washington loses at home to Montana. You know, we saw that line at 1 for weeks. Now suddenly they're getting 6.5. You're telling me off of one game against Montana that Washington drops, you know, gains 6 points, 5-6 points against Michigan at the Big House? It's just there's a lot of overreaction sometimes.
Yeah.
And you got to try to weed through it, Joe. That's what you got to.
And think about it. That line moved in Michigan's favor even more with their leading wide receiver, Ronnie Bell, lost for the year. Right? So now how big of an overreaction do we have? And those are two games that will really make or break the Pac-12. They both need to win, obviously, but they both need to show well as well. If you're going to lose, don't get blown out of the building, right? That is the biggest thing for the Pac-12. You cannot go on the road in both environments, get shellacked by Ohio State, and get shellacked by Cade McNamara and Michigan. And now, I will say, you know, which team has the best shot? Obviously, from the spread perspective, it's Washington, especially when we look at Michigan, that lost all three home games last year. They lost to Michigan State, Penn State, and Wisconsin. Come on.
No, you're absolutely right. College football full circle. Carver and Lisa here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back, we start to dive into some of these games. We got a new AP Top 25. We got a lot to do. College football full circle gets going after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle, Carver and Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. And I know you know this already, Joe, but other people should know too. If you missed the show live, you can now listen to it at any time you want. I mean,
why not? Simple.
Apple iTunes, just type in College Football Full Circle, bang, you get every episode ever right there to listen to on demand. And you could even, if you wanted to, which I'd really appreciate it, if you subscribed, gave it 5 stars, you know, gave a little review, whatever you want to do, just keep pumping up College Football Full Circle. We love it, Joe.
This is the best show on the network. I keep saying that. Now I'm a little biased in terms of that, but I mean, come on. I mean, we give you everything here. You get breakdowns. You get expert analysis. We make you laugh. This is what it's all about. We're better than the Housewives of New Jersey. Trust us.
We certainly are. And if you're a member of the Joe Lisi fan club, there's already been a couple people who commented on the show on iTunes how much they love Joe. So that's like the posting board for the Joe Lisi fan club. So if you go for the two fan club member, just go on iTunes, give it 5 stars, and make sure you leave a review. All right, Joe, let's move on here. AP Top 25. Let me just tell you something, Joe. And here's why.
It's a joke, right?
Preseason rankings are absolute nonsense. Like, it's so silly. They shouldn't do the first rankings until after the first game, because here's why. Like things like UCLA. Like, sure, was UCLA on the radar before the season started? No. You know, but they have 2 wins now. One of them a really good win at home. Like, They're better than they've shown. What is this supposed to be based off of, Joe? Isn't the top 25 supposed to be based off the performance of the teams on the field so far in the 2021 season? Isn't that the idea of the poll, or is it just a constant running thing that moves up and down from year to year? Because why would UCLA, you know, they just go into the poll at 16? Why? Because they weren't in the poll the week before. Like, it's dopey. It's just dopey.
We talked about this, though, Carver. We know why they do it. They do it for TV purposes, to get these top 25 games. I said it before. Who's going to watch Alabama versus an unranked Miami team, right? Yeah, they'll watch, but it's so much more compelling when you have number one ranked Alabama versus 14th ranked Miami, right? Same type of situation. Now we put these grades in. We're still not going to know. They're going to change dramatically by the middle of October. That's where, when October hits and we're like in that chunk middle of right before Halloween where all craziness happens, that's where you could say, okay, this is the body of work that we have. And for the most part, these are the top 25 teams in the country.
No, you're 100% right, Joe. And perfect case of what you just said, you know, they conveniently moved Iowa up to number 10. So that way the Iowa-Iowa State match is a quote-unquote top 10 matchup this week, because Iowa State's 9 and the Hawkeyes are number 10. So conveniently, they have a top 10 matchup. And the other thing that bothers me about these polls is, like, Indiana, Miami, and North Carolina were all awful last week. All three of them. Just miserable. But you're telling me that, like, why does Indiana drop out, but those two don't? Because they're Indiana and they don't have the pedigree and the history over the last few years, but Miami and North Carolina get to stay? Stuff like that bothers me, Joe. In the end of the day, it's nonsense, but it just bothers me. I
agree with you. Plus, they have quarterbacks that are more polarizing than Michael Penix. That's what it comes down to. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but they want to pump up. I was on De'Ara King, Sam Howell, everybody's All-American. Remember, I think they made a movie of Sam Howell prior to the season. Everybody's All-American, right? He's 5'11". He's going to win the Heisman Trophy. Good old Sam Howell. Right? That's right. I think that's on the Hallmark Network, Sam Howell in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
I mean,
it
come
was.
On. This is part of the problems. This is part of the issue with college football, in the sense of we have people that don't know what the heck they're talking about that pump some of these programs up respectively. Yeah. And most of them are beat reporters, and most of them are people in the AP that don't watch a stitch of football. That's the problem.
We have people
covering the sports that don't watch any games on Saturday.
Or they're just stumping for their home team, Joe, which is what you talked about when we did, like, you know, they did the SEC preseason thing at Media Day, and all, you know, you got the local guys that stump for their team. You know, that's it. You know, they just try to pump their team up and get them further up in the rankings. Alabama did get 59 of the 63 first-place votes. Georgia got 4. You know, look, this is, you know, only 4. I mean, they beat a top-5 team last week, but it is what it is. Ohio State 3, Oklahoma 4, Texas A&M 5, Clemson into the 6-hole. Clemson's going to be in trouble, Joe, because even if they run the table, I don't know if that's going to be enough to get in now with how the ACC has looked so far. That's going to be a very big problem for them, I think, going forward.
You think so, huh?
And I actually also think that this kid in that offensive line will dump a game in the ACC this year. They're going to get a second loss. Somebody's going to beat him. I don't know who it is, Joe, but I bet you Clemson loses another. If I go in by what I saw last week, now their D played very well, I know that. But judging by what I saw from them offensively, you get a school that could get a little bit of a pass rush going, Clemson could fall in another game in the ACC this year. They could.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that. You're right. I mean, the bottom line is that we talked about Clemson, is that if you're going to catch Clemson, you catch them on the road, right? 58-5 straight up against ACC opponents since 2014, 40-1 since 2016 straight up in Death Valley. So let's look at their road games and see where could they potentially step up and lose a game. I mean, that's going to be where, you know, they don't play Miami in the regular season. They don't play some of the better teams on their schedule in the regular season. You have to look at that game in the ACC championship as being a neutral field type of situation where you could clip off the Clemson Tigers, and they're already 0-1 after the loss to Georgia.
Yeah, that's the thing. There's not a lot of spots here in their schedule where they could get clipped. I mean, at NC State, you know, maybe. You know, they're not losing any of these teams. I mean, Louisville got embarrassed the other night. They're not going to beat Clemson. Wake Forest, South Carolina. I mean, their schedule is awful, Joe. Like, they don't play any of the good eight. you know, quote unquote good. Nobody's really good this year so far, but they don't play Virginia Tech. They don't play North Carolina. They don't play Miami. I mean, geez, NC State's going to be their best conference win this year, Joe. That's just, they're not getting in. They are not getting in. They better hope a bunch of these teams lose because they're not making the playoff this year. They're finished.
You wrote off Clemson. I mean, you would think they got blown out 50-3 against Georgia.
But here's the problem, Joe. Here's the problem. You know what the national perception of that conference is. You know what it is. And people are going to look at this, and they're going to say, Boston College, Georgia Tech, NC State, Syracuse, Pitt, Florida State, Louisville, I mean, Wake Forest. Like, they're going to look at that. I mean, they're playing South Carolina. Unfortunately for them, you know, they're awful. You know, they're playing UConn. They're awful. Now, yeah, they played Georgia. Give them credit for that. But here's the problem. They lost. And now you're behind the eight ball big time. Big time.
All right. Okay. I mean, I'll take that.
I want to see, what do they got for them to miss the playoff? Can I bet them to miss the playoff? Yes, I can. No, plus 126 at FanDuel. I'm putting it
in. Is that really great odds? You're better off betting against them in a potential spot.
Just bet them to lose. To NC State. Just bet them to lose the game. Not make the playoff, plus 126.
You're trying to crush the Clemson Tigers after one loss, week one.
I don't think that their offensive line was embarrassing. It was just flat out, and they don't have the explosive players, it seems like. Like, you know, they don't have a Travis Etienne this year, Joe. They don't have a guy who could bail out a QB in a bad situation. And the two QBs that were here before this guy, and I don't want to throw DJU under the bus yet. It's one game. I'm sure he's going to be a good quarterback, but I don't know if he's going to be Trevor Lawrence and Deshaun Watson. That I don't know.
Well, we talked about the Clemson offense, and the biggest change is the running game. You know, without a running game, most quarterbacks are one-dimensional. And if teams stack the box and shut down the run, you're going to twofold. You're going to, one, make that offense one-dimensional. And two, you're going to put them in long third down situations. And people have asked me all the time, Joe, what is the most important stat in terms of college football? Third down offense, third down defense, Carver. We'll get into it on the back of the break.
Yes, we will. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We keep rolling. We're going to get into some of these games, too. Oregon, Ohio State at the Shoe. We talk about it next on College Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. Joe, would you like to finish your point that you were making before we went to break, please?
Well, third down offense is critical in college football. A lot of people don't realize that. You don't need to really force turnovers. Some of the top teams in the country have been negative in turnover margin and still maintained a dominant, you know, record overall. It's the ability to sustain drives on offense. Case in point, Alabama, 58% third down conversions last year. Number one in terms of college football. You look at Florida, was up there over 50%. You look on the flip side, and teams that give up anything, the critical number in terms of where third down defense is, the cusp is right here in that area of like 35. Once you get over 35% in terms of third down conversions, you're one loss rate significantly decreases. The top teams have you know, third down defense, 33% and less. Why? Because when you're forcing three and outs, you don't have to force turnovers. You force three and outs, you give your offense an opportunity for a short field and to score points. And we watch these games each and every day. It's like college basketball. You need to stop the momentum. You don't need a turnover. You need to get off the field in terms of three and out so you can rest your defense accordingly. And some teams get it, others don't. So keep an eye out for that. That is one of the most underlooked stats in terms of the gambling aspect for college football.
No question about it, Joe. And that's the kind of stuff that you love sinking your teeth into and breaking down with Joe Lisi, Go for the Two. Get that all in the preview books that Joe puts out as well. He takes care of all the stats for you throughout the entire college football season. All right, Joe, I want to get into a couple of these games, the bigger ones, for this week, as we sit here now. Now, unlike last week was kind of crazy because we had like a ton of games on Thursday. We had a ton of games on Friday.
I know.
We had a Saturday, then we had a Sunday game, a Monday game. NFL's back this week, so we kind of get back to that normal fall schedule where there is actually no Thursday game this week, and that's just NFL-based. They know it's the NFL opener. They're not going to put any college games up. We will have Thursday games, Joe, as the season moves forward. We do have Friday night games. Kansas and Coastal Carolina. Look, Joe, like the Coastal's beaten them to the last 2 years. They beat them there. They beat them in Lawrence 25.5. I think I want to take it, Joe. You know, we never talked about Kansas. I don't know if I talked to you about this Saturday night or not, but man, Kansas really tried to lose that game to South Dakota. Your boy Lance Leopold, he really tried to lose that first game to South Dakota.
We needed that win, by the way. Not to get ahead of ourselves, okay? But we're sitting on that Louisiana Monroe. We're sitting on Kansas and UConn, right? We trimmed the fat, right? Remember that that Seinfeld episode? We're running lean, Jerry. We're running lean now that we trimmed the fat with Randy Edsel. We got rid of the loser, and now we're good to go.
Yeah, that might help UConn. Right? That might help UConn.
Right. Really, exactly. Right. We trimmed. Like, it's like Randy. He's in the boat, right? We're in the boat, you and I. Randy's like out there in the sea, and you just take like a cleaver and just cut the cord. That's it. Randy Edsel out to sea.
Like, the weird thing is that, and just to talk about that ridiculous bet for a moment, is that a team on each side has already lost a game that you thought that they were going to win. Now, look, UConn, as embarrassing as they are, you can't expect them to lose at home to Holy Cross, Joe.
No, that was one of the wins that we needed.
That was one of the ones we thought we, not had in the bag, but we thought would be good. But UNLV lost that Eastern Washington game, too. So
it's like a wash.
I guess you could say that. So those kind of cancel each other out. But, man, these teams are awful. Like, this bet is so nutty that we're involved in this. Like, ULM, listen, we love Terry. It's going to be tough for him to win games.
But he said it. He said Akron's, he's got his eyes set at conference play. Here's the
UMass
thing.
Oh.
Here's the thing, Carver. We got to figure UL Monroe for UL Lafayette, the rivalry game. I know that UL Lafayette is the superior team, but it's a rivalry game. You got to give them all year to develop, right, and implement their scheme offensively and defensively. And let's say we're ahead of the boat already because UL Monroe led for the first time in a game. They didn't do that all last season, the only team in college football. So we're ahead of the curve with the 7-0 lead over Will Levis and Kentucky.
They didn't come close after that 7-0 lead. That's for sure.
They got pasted after that.
Listen, here's all I need Terry to do. Just get me one or two wins this year, Terry. Please. If he ever gets a deuce, Joe, we'll send him a basket or something down there in Louisiana. If he gets us a couple wins and wins us this bet, we'll have to take care of Terry. UMass is awful too, Joe. Jeez. They got Walt Bell. Last week. So that's our fun bet. That was at WinBet, of course. The six worst teams in college football prop that me and Joe are just way too locked in on. But Kansas is one of those teams. They're getting 25.5 from Coastal on Friday night. Look.
Isn't this an overreaction in terms of the line?
I don't think so.
No, I mean the line. Yeah. I mean, Kansas was favored in that game last year, weren't they? I'm pretty sure they were.
They were, because I remember betting the game, Joe. I said, and the reason I bet the game was because I said, Kansas lost to Coastal last year. They're not losing to them 2 years in a row. We'll have that go first.
Clipped. That was Les Miles.
And they got smoked in that game. They got smoked in that game in Lawrence. I mean, they got destroyed.
Grayson McCall was running.
That was CJ Maribel
was. He was running all over the place.
Well, CJ Maribel,
46-yard run. But aren't they
25 and a half?
Aren't they wearing those powder blue jerseys this weekend?
Yes, and they got the great the teal turf, which is outstanding.
Right, so that game is going to look amazing on the screen.
Yeah.
That's almost like an Academy Award picture right there.
Can you
see, like, you know, we have the awards up for this year's Academy Awards, Green Mile, you know, Batman and Kansas, Coastal Carolina, you know?
Oh, Joe. Yeah, yes, I'm with you. Those are great unis, and it's a great field that they play on, and they're going to whack Kansas on Friday night.
All right, so you're laying it. You're laying that.
Oh, I'm
going to take it. I'm going to tell you, it's not one of my best bets, but you might want to tease. How about this?
Lance.
How about you tease it? Because you can tease it on FanDuel, and this is something I know.
But here's why, Joe. I can't do these crazy college teasers with you. Here's the only way I'm teasing a college game. If you're getting me under 7 or under 3, like, it's got to be a tighter game. Like, these 25.5s, these 30.5s, these 8, I can't tease these games. I can't do it. I need to be.
All right.
I need to basically. You know, a good spot for, I think, for if you wanted to do that for a tease this week, you know, like Army laying the 6.5. Get me down to a 0. You know, get down to a half against Western Kentucky. You want to give me a little spot where. How about Tennessee? You want to bump them from getting 3.5 to getting 9.5? That's a good spot, I think, Joe. Get them over the 7. You know, I think those are the spots. I can't do the 25.5 with Coastal, Joe. It's just out of my realm. I just can't do it.
All right. Speaking of that game, I mean, you brought up Western Kentucky. I sort of like the Hilltoppers in that ballgame.
Yeah?
I know I'm nuts. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they have
going
a good
up there
defense.
To Army?
Yeah.
Army was
and they
impressive
they have some rocking
week.
Uniforms,
Army
I'll tell you
very
what.
Army impressive.
Texas Tech and Western Kentucky and Bowling Green and Western Michigan could be the top uniforms in college football. Could be. I'm just saying.
You love the.
I love the unis. The unis are like you. I'd be like so bad, like as a recruit. Like, Joe, we're gonna give you a chrome helmet. Sold. I don't need anything else. You're gonna give me a chrome helmet, matted finish. Wow.
That's a tough trip.
Forget the scholarship.
Tough trip for the Hilltoppers to go up to West Point. And Mitchie Stadium, that's a tough trip for them to make up there. I like Army in that game coming up on Saturday. You got a couple early kicks, too, Joe. Why is Illinois and Virginia kicking at 11 a.m. on Saturday, Eastern time? What is that about?
I have no idea. But I'm going to be on College Football Today. We're going to have an update for that game. Why is that? But I got to admit, that's going to look good on the screen, too. You have Virginia and Brennan Armstrong. You have some playmakers in terms of Keaton Thompson at the quarterback position. You love Keaton Thompson in terms of the RPO game, the former Mid-State quarterback. So I love Bronco Mendenhall. You got Brett Bielema and Bronco. Whoa, man, talk about the beef.
I'm leaning towards laying it with Virginia in this game, Joe. I really don't like
that game.
I think it's probably going to be a stay away game for me, but I could be talked into Virginia minus the 9.5.
Is Sikowski starting? I don't think he is. Peters back?
I think that's so. That could be a factor.
Brandon
Low
Peters
total,
starts
55.5 total. Early morning game could be an underplay, Joe.
Yeah, I don't have a feel for that. I just know Illinois coach provides injury update. I don't see no news on Brandon Peters right now as we speak. He might be day to day in terms of that. It says Peters will return sooner rather than later, whatever that means. Yeah, it's a shoulder, though. That's the only thing, right? Obviously, with the shoulder, you got to be careful. You can't rush him back too early because one hit, he'll be right back where you started. So they might take an extra precaution for Brandon Peters in this ballgame. I can just tell you that Virginia, even though they're not a dominant defense, very disciplined, forced turnovers. They got the win over Sam Howell last year in Charlottesville. They are a very tough out at home. It's going to be a tough matchup for Illinois because they want to run the football. Still want to run it. I would lean to Virginia as well.
College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi right here with you. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back. We look at a couple more of these games for Saturday. Some good ones. Oregon and Ohio State at the Horseshoe. We talk about it next. College Football Full Circle on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we are back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here with you. Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM, Channel 204. I did ask you during the break, Joe, and I wanted if the South Carolina Gamecocks were starting the grad assistant again.
Zeb Nolan,
coming off his four-touchdown performance against Nassau Community College. now this week he gets a chance to go to East Carolina to take on the Pirates, who did not look good last week either, and their loss to App State on Thursday night. -1.5 for South Carolina, the road favorite, Joe. A real screamer. This game just says, stay away, don't bet me. That's what South Carolina
is. Yeah, it does, I know. And people say you got SEC versus, you know, an opponent that got beat up by App State in that matchup. But they did throw for 295 on App State in that ball game. App State's defense pretty solid.
East Carolina.
I'm just saying, what's a total? I can't. No,
56.5. 56.5.
That might be a total that we might have to entertain from an in-game. Yeah, because you know Beamer wants to throw it. They have the speed advantage.
Joe.
Kevin Harris is there. They're gonna pound the rock, but they're gonna. I mean, App State put up 33 on that team, on the Pirates.
Man,
defense.
There's so many decent games at
Chase
on
Bryce.
Tied up in South Carolina.
Are you ready for this? Chase Bryce. Who was absolutely pathetic last year at Duke, right?
Yes.
Under Cutcliffe, who threw 10 touchdowns and 15 interceptions.
Quarterback guru, by the way.
Right, Cutcliffe. Right. Yeah, quarterback whisperer. He's in the woods. You know, Eli, come play for David down in Oxford, right? I got a cup of chamomile tea and a scholarship waiting for you. Anyway. He completed 20 of 27 passes against that defense. So Zeb Nolan was with Matt Campbell in Ames and lost out to Brock Purdy. And then he transferred for North Dakota State. He started the week one matchup. They lost. And that's why he's no longer at North Dakota State. He lost his first start last year when North Dakota State lost outright. So, I mean, come on. I mean, how good is he? He did throw for 4 touchdowns last week, but you're telling me between Kevin Harris, SEC athletes, and still a team that likes to pass in ECU, we can't get 56 and a hook?
Joe's looking for this total already, man. Maybe in-game, Joe, you could pull me in. Can't pull me in right now. I'm not going to get pulled in now on this game.
Okay.
All right, let's get to a big game, and that is, of course, the Oregon Ducks. Number 11 in the country, going to Columbus to take on the Buckeyes. This has gone up, Joe. I mean, that look-ahead line about a month ago when we were looking at them.
10.5.
10.5. Now it's up to 14.5. Ed FanDuel and most other places. Total of 63.5, which is pretty much the same one, the same total Ohio State had against Minnesota last week. You said it. Oregon was not that impressive against Fresno. There was a couple of factors, whether it be Fresno playing their second game. I thought the kick, the 11 a.m. local kick in Eugene was kind of weird. I get what they were doing, though. They were trying to match up, you know, the fact that they have a noon kickoff Eastern time against Ohio State this week. I think this is a bad, bad situation for Oregon coming up on Saturday.
Do you?
I think this is the kind of game where you're not going to have to watch the second half unless you got some kind of action on it. You got some in-game action because
in terms of the
outcome of this game, I think it's going to be decided by halftime.
Well, all right, so let's go through this in terms of some stats, right? Oregon, since 2016, on the road or on a neutral field, is just 12-18 overall. I believe that's a 464 or 424 winning percentage, 12-18 straight up. On the flip side, over the last 3 years, you have Ohio State at home in the horseshoe straight up 23-1. And now Ohio State is 9-0 all time against the Ducks. So, all right, so the stats favor Ohio State in this ballgame. But if you're the Pac-12, you need this game. You're on life support. You're on life support right here if you're on Oregon. Are you kidding me? Here's the factor that I like, and I lean to Oregon here. I might actually love this game by the time game time comes around. But if you're Oregon and you have two complimentary backs in Travis Dye and C.J. Verdell, you want to pound the rock just the way Minnesota did with your heavy offensive line and Mo Ibrahim, right? I mean, Mo Ibrahim had 169 yards on the ground against that front seven. That's how you keep a keep away on the road. You can't allow C.J. Stroud to go up there, bing, bing, bing. Garrett Wilson, bing. Chris Olave, bing, bing. 46-3. Yeah, that's great. No, so that's the first thing. They have to run the football. Because if they don't run the football, then we have that long third down type of situation, and you could just kiss that situation goodbye with Anthony Brown. Now, Anthony Brown did throw for the most passing yards in Boston College history since 2012, believe it or not. Since Djokovic last year, right? So prior to Djokovic, it was Anthony Brown that threw for the most passing yards since 2012. Now, a main reason why is because he had A.J. Dillon back there. So can Anthony Brown pull this game out if he needs to, if the running game isn't there? I don't think so. But I think here's the factor. Mario Cristobal needs this game. Oregon needs this game. Nobody believes that the Pac-12 is for real. It's an aberration. It's Ohio State. I'm going to take the 14-0. I might actually book this right now.
Yeah.
Because I like Oregon just in the sense of if they lose, you know what? I think they lose a tough game, and I'm going to throw a game out there that I know it sounds crazy, but I'm going to go back to 2003, okay? Now, I did say that this Ohio State-Minnesota game reminded me of Georgia-Missouri back when Drew Locke was there. And I was dead on with that, I believe. That was a 14-point spread. Georgia won that ballgame on the road in Columbia by 14. This game reminds me of 2003 Ohio State and NC State with the Buckeyes and Tressel going up against Chuck Amato and Phillip Rivers and T.A. McClendon. That's what this game reminds me of. And I just go back to this game is going to be tighter than I think people think. And we talked about all of those factors. Early kick, look ahead. Biggest player knocked out of that ball game in Thibodeau. The fact that Fresno State had a game under their belt, all of those factors favored Fresno State. Now you got a cross-country trip, early kick. Nobody's believing in Oregon. They might not win, but I think they definitely cover this 14.5 point number. Book it. I'm in.
Here's what I have in my head, Joe. I have this Oregon team who still has Anthony Brown at quarterback. I watched them go into the Fiesta Bowl against Iowa State, who is a good football team, but nowhere near as good as Ohio State, and Oregon got whacked. I mean, they got pushed around, and they got whacked in that game. And there's still a lot of guys on this team that were at the Fiesta Bowl back in January. And that worries me for Oregon. I think that they are a bit of a paper tiger, Joe. Bit of a paper tiger. I don't think they're that good. I think they got in that Fiesta Bowl by a fluke last year. They shouldn't have even been in the Pac-12 title game. Washington had the COVID issues. I think that this is going to be a bad scene for Mario Cristobal on Saturday afternoon in Columbus. It's going to be a long flight home, Joe. That's all. I just feel like they can't match up. They can't match up with... I mean, you look at it last week. What did we say about the Minnesota game? Even Minnesota hung around for a half, right? They tried to control the ball. They tried to do things the right way. What happened in the second half? Big play after big play after big play after big play. And I just don't know if Oregon can match that with the Buckeyes. I don't think they can.
All right. I don't
know.
Okay.
That's just me. That's just, yeah, you know. That's just kind of how I'm. That's just kind of how I'm.
That's
looking
just
at the
coming
game.
From Corey. Who am I? I'm just, you know, Mr. Islander. That's all right. What do I know? I got the season lead in terms.
And trust me, in terms of the records. And trust me, Joe. Like, I can't stand Ohio State. I don't want to see Ohio State win. Like, I would love to see Oregon go into the Horseshoe on Saturday and give me a big effort. I just don't know if they're capable of it. That's the problem. I don't know if they're capable of doing this. And the Pac-12 does need it. You're right. Pac-12 needs it bad. I mean, they're starving for a win like this. I mean, they got the huge one they got last week with LSU going down. This would be even bigger. But I just don't know if Oregon's up to the task with that quarterback and with that team. I just don't know if they are.
Okay.
That's my issues.
Hang in. Hang in there. You got to hang in. You got to be a believer. Are you a believer, Carl?
No, I'm not. I'm not a believer, Joe. I'm just going to go right to the window and plunk my money down on the Ohio State Buckeyes. That's it. So that way I can get even more mad at them when they win the game by 7. So there you go. I'll hate Ohio State even more when they don't cover on Saturday. you have had this game, this other noon kickoff, circled for a while. You have Pat Narduzzi going to Knoxville to take on Josh Heupel, Pitt and Tennessee. Are you surprised, Joe, that the Pitt Panthers are the 3.5-point road favorite?
No.
In this game? Does that surprise you?
No, they're the better team on paper. And okay. Tennessee did not look good week one against Bowling Green. They just did not. You know, they did not cover that line. They had opened up at like 34.5. They bet it up to 37.5. Joe Milton was 11 of 21 in terms of that. So in terms of the performance, no, I don't think they stepped up. But I did say that the tempo would be a factor in this ball game. Now I took this total Sunday night at 54.5. It's already up to 56.5, 57.5 this morning.
57. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It settled back down. It got up to 57.5, and now some under money's coming in. But keep in mind that Josh Heupel played Pittsburgh on the road a couple of years ago, lost that matchup as a 10.5-point favorite. Ooh. So from a defensive personnel scheme perspective, I think Heupel has an edge because he understands the defensive formations. It's not the first time that he's broken down Pittsburgh defense. And with the losses that they have had, I like the total in this game. I lean to Tennessee in this ballgame. I know this line was 1.5. They bet it up. Now it got over 3.5. It settled back in at 3, so I lean Tennessee. I think the tempo will be a factor, but I really like the over in this ball game.
I might play Tennessee on the money line, Joe. I think they're going to win the game outright. Give me that little plus 136 with the Vols on Saturday. Little Joe Milton making magic, Rocky Top against Pat Narduzzi and the Pitt Panthers. You're right. Heupel losing to him a couple years ago. Yeah, I think Tennessee's going to be better this year. I think they're going to be better. I know Milton's not great, but I think that Heupel's going to have them better. And I think it starts with a win over Pitt. I'm not saying they're going to go 500 even. I just think there's going to be some improvement with the Tennessee Vols. But you might be on the better track with this number on the total. I think that's probably the safer way to play this game, if I had to think about it.
Okay. All right. I like the total. Like I said, it's 2 points on BetMGM higher. You got to shop around. I know FanDuel, some others have a little bit higher totals. But, again, I tease this number down, too. I think that this line, I think this game goes into the high 60s at least.
Wow.
I think it's going to be one of the biggest progression in terms of offense week one to week two. Joe Milton got out the kinks. They became more consistent in the fourth quarter. I think that carries through. And the defensive losses for Pittsburgh, Twyman, Patrick Jones, Ford in the secondary, that's going to be evident. You know, and Kenny Pickett threw for 272 last week.
I can't stand Pitt, Joe. I just like Tennessee in this spot, but maybe I will have a little fun with you, and we'll play some over, and we'll hope for a huge, you know, 35-31 type of game between these two teams. College football full circle. Carver and Lisi right here, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We come back and wrap it up right after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to College Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Mike Carver.
And we're back. College Football Full Circle. Carver and Lisi here. Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 204. We will go through more of these games tomorrow, Joe, as we keep moving forward. Last one I'll throw you today before we get out of here. If you think after Dan Mullen and the Gators let me down a week ago, laying that 23.5 against FAU, if you think I'm going to lay 28.5 on the road at South Florida, you got another thing coming, Joe.
I thought South Florida played well from a defensive perspective. I don't like the game. I do like the total, though. I think there will be some points scored in that ball game in terms of on the road in USF. I like the total there. That's what I lean to. I think USF's offense will be much improved from last week where they didn't score. They moved the football. And I think Florida's got to work out some kinks before their week three matchup against the Alabama Crimson Tide. So I don't have a feel in terms of the spread, but I do like the total in that ballgame, which I think is a little light for the interstate rivalry.
Yeah, I'm seeing 58.5 right now at FanDuel, Joe. It's pretty much the same roundabout number everywhere else, too. Yeah, total's probably going to be a way to play that game. I'm not laying 4 touchdowns with the Gators. They did not show me enough offensively, Joe, that I'm going to get excited about them playing anybody. Even though South Florida, like you said, hung in for a while defensively against NC State. Did you see them this morning? They broke new ground on the practice facility. Did you see all the pictures of Jeff Scott with the shovel in the ground down there at South Florida? So I know that you're high on him getting the program going. Maybe he hangs around a little bit. That's over four touchdowns. With the way that Florida kind of messed around last week, maybe this is the week to jump on the Jeff Scott train, Joe. Maybe this is the week. Let's go.
All right. Okay. We'll see. Hopefully he gets it going. They need to score some points at home in Tampa.
All right, Joe. Tremendous stuff as always, buddy. I'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll keep running through all these games coming up for week two on Saturday. Great job by Andrew Torres. College Football Full Circle. Mike Carver, Joe Lisi, Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Live.